Today in current events from a Christian perspective, in news updates, DeSantis declares his presidential run. And we'll look at a quick update on this whole thing. And we have to look at an update on Target, the whole trans pride Satan kerfuffle that happened. We will look at a battle of Christian universities. Spoiler, one bows down to culture and one does not. Then we wade into this Dodger baseball fake Catholic drag show nun controversy. And this whole thing shows where we are and where we stand as Christians in culture. And perhaps we will discover what we must do as believers in a secular world. I'm Matt Odegaard, and this is Church Public. Well, welcome back to Church Public again. I'm your host, Matt Odegaard, and really appreciate you stopping by today. This is a labor of love for you so that you can learn to live out your faith in whatever area of life that you are in. And we do that through looking at current events so that we can know what's going on in society, what's going on in our culture, and operate within our beliefs according to Scripture and how to respond to some of these things. So if this is helpful to you, feel free to share it, like it, hit subscribe, hit all the notifications, give a review. Do all the things. If you are just listening on audio, we are going to look at some pictures, some videos today. You may want to see them because some of this is just it's going to be really hard to make sense of without seeing what's really going on. I'll try to describe it as best I can for you audio listeners. So love you and thank you. And we'll do the best we can together. You can always go to churchpublic.com. You can go to YouTube, probably Rumble, search Church Public as one word, and that will get you there on any of the podcast places or audio and video places. All right, let's get into some things that are going on today. So we have to say and point out, because this is kind of a current events section, that DeSantis has declared as a presidential candidate. I think that's interesting. I think it's more interesting that he made the announcement on Twitter. He basically bypassed the entire mainstream media conglomerate, and I think that's fascinating and fantastic. I think he did a really interesting choice in that, and apparently it went pretty well. During the launch, it was a Twitter space hosted by Elon Musk and David Sacks, a close friend of Musk's. Apparently, there was somewhere between 200 and 700,000 while the event was going on. It was a little unclear. Twitter even got like bogged down a little bit because so many people were on that space. I think that's really interesting. And then afterwards, it was up to 3+ million who had seen it, probably more by the time you're watching this. So I think that's just fascinating that he bypassed the entire mainstream media enterprise and just went straight to Twitter, which, as Elon Musk has put it, is the public square of people. It's the de facto public square. And I think that's true. And I think that's important to note that DeSantis read in that way. Now, I think this is just news worth watching, as Trump and DeSantis are probably going to battle it out through the next season leading up to the presidential primary. I know there's other people in the race. Are they going to be in that caliber? I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. That's about all the presidential talk that I'll say today. We may hit more as things continue to heat up, but I thought it was interesting both that DeSantis entered the race, which everybody knew he was going to do, but more so that he did it through Twitter. I think that's pretty interesting and important for us to understand. All right, let's get back to Target because we have to. I don't really want to, but we kind of have to talk about this again. Talked about it all a bunch in the last episode. You can go back and check that out at churchpublic.com. Again, all the podcast places, or I think that one's up on YouTube still. Anyway, Target has, they put out a whole group of pride clothing specifically for children with chest binding and tucking features. Again, I'm not going to go through what that is again, but if you don't know, you're probably better off for it. And people did not like that. I did not like that. And then we also found out that one of the designers for Target and some of this Pride collection is, in his own words, a Satanist. Now, I say his, but I'm actually confused on that, and I don't even know at this point. It's a person here. I've got it right here. It's a person named Eric. This is a picture of Eric. Eric has a mustache and a nose ring. I think, according to what I've read on this Instagram page, Eric is actually a girl who's transitioning to look like a boy. I don't even know at this point. But anyway, this beautiful shirt here is Satan Respects Pronouns. It's a picture of the Baphomet with the horns and other things. Eric also has horns. And in the middle of the head of the Baphomet, the Satan-y face, the Satan-y goat, you know, face, whatever it is also the trans symbol. We pointed that out the other day. I'm not going to go all in and through this again. However, I think it's important to understand that Target has backed off a good amount from this, and they're now holding emergency meetings over all of this Pride merchandise and the satanic merchandise to avoid, quote unquote, Bud Light situation. So good job, everybody. Like, I think that's fantastic. I'm glad that you all pushed back into this. It is working. And I guess I would say, like, don't stop. Like, just don't go somewhere else, because they don't like you. They hate you. They want to endorse this LGBTQ sex religion instead of you and any values that you might have. So let's keep on keeping on in that. All right. I told you we would talk about a couple of universities, and I think it's important to look at this. And I think it's important to look at this for a couple of different reasons. One of them is you may be sending your kids to a university. It could be a good idea, though I have some thoughts on that I've shared previously, and I won't get into too much right now. But you may go, well, I don't want a regular secular university education, so I'm going to send my kids to a Christian education because that just sounds better. Yes, in theory, that sounds better, but you need to know and you need to do your research on what is actually being taught at this Christian education, at this Christian university, and is it actually going to espouse those Christian values? They may even say it on their website, but do they actually practice it? And so I have to point out a couple of different universities, one that I think did well in this and the other that, well, it doesn't seem like they're doing very well in this at all. And we could point to a couple of different things. So unfortunately, the first one is Baylor. I know a bunch of you like Baylor, so I apologize, but I didn't make this up. I didn't make these rules. This is just what is happening in real life. So Baylor, I believe it was called the Prism Group. I don't know what to call it. The Prism Group hosted this queer sex ed. So queer sex ed for students of Baylor Christian University, queer sex ed. Lord help us. And so this happened. And again, if you're just listening, I'll point this out to you. At the bottom here is a little pink squiggle, and you go, okay, that's just a design element. It's just a pink squiggle, but it's not just a pink squiggle. It is two P's. That is the logo of PP, and you guessed it, Planned Parenthood. So it's important to note that this is hosted by a group called Prism. We'll talk more about that in a second, and Planned Parenthood. So I know you're saying, well, this happened at Baylor, but they didn't know about it. But maybe, I don't know. I don't know. At the very least, I can say Baylor did not stop it. It happened. And it also was sponsored by Planned Parenthood. So we have queer sex implicitly sponsored by a Christian university and partnered with by Planned Parenthood. And again, sure, you'll say, well, they didn't know. I don't know. I don't know who or what is behind this, but I can say the Christian university with professed Christian values, which we'll look at in a moment, did not stop this meeting. In fact, this meeting seems to have been sponsored by Prism, which was allowed by the Baylor Board of Regents. This came out a couple of years ago now, I think 1 or 2 years ago now. It was called the, quote, Resolution on a Caring Community, end quote. In this resolution, they said, the Board of Regents of Baylor University said, we recognize that Baylor's LGBTQ students continue to seek care, connection, and community on our campus and a sense of belonging within the Baylor family. And as an important and faithful expression of our Christian mission, we desire to establish trust with our LGBTQ students so that, among other things, they might seek the resources provided by Baylor. The Baylor University Board of Regents charges President Linda Livingstone, PhD, and the university administration to determine the appropriate pathway to provide additional care, connection, and community for Baylor's LGBTQ students. And I believe what they did then was create this Prism group. Here is a post from their Prism group Instagram page. It says one of their goals is to provide a space for LGBTQ plus community to come together to engage, participate, and celebrate their individual identity and identity as a group. And you may say, well, okay, they're getting together and they're hanging out and they have shared values. But here's the biblical worldview problem with this statement. And this is where things can sound really good, but you have to understand what is really being said here. As you read, they're going to celebrate their individual identities and identities as a group. What you understand from that is this is about who you are as an individual and the group that you want to belong to. What it is not about by name, by nature here is who are you in God? Who are you in Christ? Who did Christ make you to be? This is the equivalent of a euphemism for an analogy of live your truth. You do you. You get to decide whatever your identity is. You get to decide whatever your truth is. It is not God made you a certain way and you should act into the way that God made you. It is whatever you feel like. You can just live that way. Doesn't matter. And it could be today. You could change tomorrow. All of that doesn't matter. That's what this post is saying. That's what this group is saying. That's what this group studying queer sex at Baylor University apparently is talking about. And we have to be careful when we hear things like this and go, oh, well, they're just people and they just want to be loved. Yeah, I know they do. And they should be loved. But we have to be careful understanding what is going on within these groups and do they fit with Christian values? And this isn't my rules. Of course, that's what I would like to say, but this Christian university has said they believe these things. So let's read a couple of the statements that Baylor has stated on their values, specifically when it comes to this. Quote, the mission of Baylor University is to educate men and women for worldwide leadership and service by integrating academic excellence and Christian commitment within a caring community. Christian commitment would lead me to believe, that's end quote there, Christian commitment would lead me to believe they open the Bible and do what it says. The LGBTQ lifestyle is not in the Bible. That is not in accordance to what God's plan for your life is. I'm not going to get into all the scriptures right now. Again, you can go back and listen to a bunch of different episodes where we've gone through various scriptures about that. You could just start with Genesis 1, 27, 28. God made male and female, he created them. You could look at Matthew 19, where Jesus definitely affirms marriages between a man and a woman. You could read through almost all of the Pauline epistles, the Pauline letters that are in the New Testament, where he talks about immorality being any kind of sexual immorality outside of marriage. So yes, if you are straight and sleeping around, also bad. Sure. It's just that this straight hookup culture is bad, but not necessarily being pushed as bad as some of this other LGBTQ craziness that has been going on lately, right? So then we look at some other things that they said, and I think this is important to note. Baylor University said the biblical understanding of sexual relationships of any kind outside of marriage between a man and a woman are not in keeping with the teachings of Scripture. So that's the question, right? Is it that you're a Christian university that upholds the value of Christ, or are you in the culture and you're just going to do whatever the culture wants to do? It's really hard for me when you say that you want to do both, because I think those are mutually exclusive. Either you follow God, you follow Christ, and you follow after him with everything that you have and read the Bible and do what it says, or you look at the culture and the culture says, well, your biblical values, your old book are just that. They're old, they're out of date, and we just don't do that anymore. So we've grown with the culture, why don't you, right? That's the cultural argument for following your heart and doing whatever you want to do. It's the liberal worldview, rather than saying, well, I don't think I know what's best for me. I think the God who made me knows what's best for me and literally told me through this wonderful scripture that I have next to me all the things that I need to know. And this is the problem. This Christian university has said, yeah, we totally believe that. We read the Bible. We incorporated that into our beliefs and our mission statement and the statement on purity that we have. And yet, at the same time, we're just going to let this group of people who are questioning their identity in Christ question their identity in Christ. And they don't see a conflict in that. These two things seem at odds to me. No? All right. That's enough on that one. Let's look at the other Christian university. So this is Houghton University, or Houghton, if you are from New York. And this particular university, I mean, this is a very interesting one for me. They have fired two professors. But the reason they fired two professors, I know, usually I bring you statements where they fire people because, they were too Christian or whatever. And I love that that's not the case here. This is actually the opposite case. These two Christian university professors were fired from this Christian university in upstate New York because they used pronouns in their work email, according to a report in the New York Times. So they put their pronouns, he, they, she, her. I can't even do it anymore. Whatever these are. They put them in their work email, and the university said no. And in fact, according to this report, Reagan Zelaya and Shua Wilmot, who put, here it is, she, her, and he, him in their school associated email accounts, they were asked to take them out. So I think that's pretty great. This university said, gave them some grace and said, hey, you need to take these pronouns out of your school, university, Christian university email. And they said no. So they were like, oh, I love that. It's a university saying, hey, we mean what we say and we say what we mean. Or as Jesus would put it, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. If you are a Christian university and you say you believe a thing, you should be ready to back up the actions that come with the belief in the thing. I mean, why is this not common sense? It should be, but anyway, this is the crazy world we live in. So the Christian university, I believe this particular one is in the Wesleyan, the Wesleyan tradition, and that's fine. We're not going to get too much into that because it doesn't matter that much. I'm just using a broadly Christian context to describe the fact that you should read the Bible and do what it says and let your yes be yes and your no be no. So Zelaya and Wilmot said they included their pronouns due to their first names being gender neutral, and in the past they've been misgendered in corresponding emails. Okay, I get it. There are certainly names you read in print and you don't know, is this a woman or a man? Now, I don't know if you're sitting down. I don't know if you're ready for this. This may surprise some of you, but I actually have a solution for this. You are not going to believe it. This is going to surprise some of you that I have a solution for this problem. And in fact, I didn't invent this. I didn't make this up. This is a real solution that has been around. I didn't even look up how long it's been around because it's been around for so long. You wouldn't even believe that it's a real solution, but it is. It is. Believe me, when you hear this, it is going to blow your mind. Again, sit down, get ready for the solution to whether you get misgendered or not in an email. You write Mr. or Mrs. or sometimes Miss in front of your name. I know. It's that crazy. It's this revolutionary that you can write Mr. Smith and they know you're a mister because that's part of English. And we all learn that from the youngest grade school. And it's not controversial because that's how you refer to people. I know, problem solved. Now, some of you are saying, Okay, that's ridiculous. But is it though? I mean, this whole pronoun thing is funny. And then you say, look, these people are just being nice, quote unquote nice. What is the harm in pronouns? And I have to come back to something I've said several times now. The harm in pronouns is lying is not loving, and using preferred pronouns is specifically and intentionally a practice to force you to use pronouns that are not biologically accurate, and therefore, to be blunt, that is lying. If you are a biological man and you are forcing me to call you a she, that's not real. Therefore, it's a lie. I know we all should know this, but apparently we forget these things. Now, this person may be sad and hurt and confused and needing help. I can have sympathy for that. But when we sacrifice the truth for the sake of being nice, we're not loving our neighbor, even though it may feel good in the moment. We've got to keep the truth primary. Yes, with grace. Yes, with love. But we can't throw the truth out the window because of the feels. We've got to do the right thing. So, tale of two universities, props to this university for standing on Christian values. But as I was looking into this story, I actually discovered a bigger problem. Here's the bigger problem. In the fallout of these two terminations of people for their pronouns in their emails, more than 600 alumni from this small Christian university have signed a petition supporting these teachers and some other things. So I'll say, good job, university and leaders, for showing courage against a radical leftist culture. However, there's clearly much more work to do because there were hundreds of graduates from this Christian college. So again, these are graduates from this Christian college who just don't understand basic truths, even as simple as the first 10 commandments, like don't lie. This is a problem, and we're going to be dealing with the ramifications of whatever education got them to this place where they don't understand what simple truths like the Ten Commandments really mean for our day-to-day life. All right, that's two different universities, and we've talked enough about those, and oh man, we've got to look at this. This is one that is not my favorite, but we've got to look at this, and this is the North Face guy. Now, if you've been with Church Public for a little while, you may remember that we talked about a North Face guy last summer, or it was either last June, or I didn't look up the date. It was either end of last May. It probably was the end of last May because we're in the same place again, the end of May 2023. And we saw this guy around last May. And well, just to help you remember, This is what we had last year. Here we go.
Nature lets you be who you are.
Hang on. We're having a little bit of trouble with the video styles working, so let me make sure we can make this work here. We're going to try again. All right, so here is the North Face promoting the Summer of Pride, as they did again last summer with a person named Patagonia. See what you did there, right? Patagonia, the company, which should be at odds with North Face, but hey, I don't make the rules here. So let's see if this one will come up this time. We'll try it again.
Nature lets you be who you are.
Even gay. Hi!
Ladies and gentlemen, you are cordially invited to the Summer of Pride with my...
Okay, that's literally all I can say to that. So if you couldn't see, it was a guy who was dressed just like a regular hiker guy. And then he snapped his fingers, became a drag queen who was literally wearing a North Face tent, and then made the sound that I'm not going to imitate at this point. So this person, Patagonia, is back in North Face world again. And well, here's what we've got this year.
Hi, it's me, Patagonia, a real life homosexual. And today I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour the Summer of Pride. This tour has everything: hiking, community, art, lesbians making art. Last year, we gay sashayed across the nation and celebrated Pride across the nation with hundreds of you across the nation.
This year, we're back again with two new stops.
It's so
Atlanta,
creepy.
GA. Why? Because you're there. In Salt Lake City, we're coming for you.
Patty, can we go?
Of course. This year, all these fabulous speakers will be coming from inside this TV to a nature near you. So come outside and celebrate the beautiful LGHGTV community. This is pretty gay.
Ha! Gay!
Okay, so, yeah. So anyway, that's North Face. Do I have another piece on the... Oh, yeah. So Patagonia then wrote, "Nature lets you be who you are." So for the second year in a row, the North Face is hosting Summer of Pride together with Patagonia, they, she, pronouns, to celebrate you and all the beautiful ways you get outside. Listen, I have a question. I'll do it this way. Why does your sexuality or your pronouns have anything to do with hiking? In what way does your sexuality have to do with hiking? And if you couldn't see, this was, I presume, a man wearing a dress in some big shoes. And I mean, are you doing more than hiking? I don't understand. Are you wearing 6-inch heels while hiking? Is it more comfortable to hike in a dress? Don't even women wear pants while they're hiking? I mean, every woman, I've done a fair bit of hiking in my life, and every single woman that I've hiked with wanted to wear pants because hiking is outdoors. And I just don't understand any of this, except for the fact that you realize it's not actually about hiking and it's not about real life. Just like Budweiser, Target, countless other retail corporations, they feel the need to bow down to the LGBT sex religion or they will be destroyed. This is just the reality of what we're seeing and the reality of things that are going on in our culture that these corporations are saying, oh, we've got to do this. It makes me think of Daniel. Again, if you're just listening, this is just a picture that I pulled. It's an old timey Daniel. It's actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, where Nebuchadnezzar had made a giant golden statue and said, hey, you guys are going to bow down to this. And they're like, no. So everyone in this picture is bowing down and they're sitting there going, no, I'm not going to bow down to you. I think I even have a verse. This is part of 3. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Right. That's how we have to live in this. We have to really understand that this culture is saying you must bow down to this or else. And like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Rakshak and Beni, we have to say, no, we're not going to bow down to this. We're going to follow God no matter the cost. And God has the ability to save us from this. But even if he doesn't, we still follow God. All right. A couple more. We got to look at this Dodger thing because not because I love sports, and those that know me know sports are not necessarily my jam, but we have to talk about this because it has a really big cultural implication, and this cultural implication really focuses on how we are doing as a culture and how Christians are perceived and, in fact, treated in this culture. So we've got to look at this and we've got to talk about what this means for us and how we are to respond to it. So there's a bunch of crazy things going on here, and let's talk about this a little bit. So the first thing is the Dodgers, like every other corporation now, North Face and Target and everybody else, Budweiser, do a Pride Month. Let's see, do I have this here? So this is LGBTQ plus Pride Night LA Dodgers. And again, I'm not that big into sports. It doesn't really matter because this ultimately becomes not about sports. That's why we need to talk about this from a Christian perspective and what that has to do with our cultural reality and how we live out our faith. So the Dodgers, who apparently are avidly pro-LGBTQ in terms of corporate policies, had a 10th annual Pride Night, and it's going to come up in June because June is Pride Night, even though, again, we're in May and talking about all this Pride stuff because now Pride is all year, all the time, in everything and everywhere, always. So the Dodgers are holding this Pride Night. It was going to be at a Dodgers game, and they were going to be presented some awards. And one of those awards was the Community Heroes Award. Community Heroes Award. And they said they were going to give the Community Hero Award to a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Now, if you didn't know Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, you might think, oh, that's great. Is it a Catholic charity where you know, Catholics are honored because the charity has done so much, the nuns have done so much? No, that's not it at all. This is, I hesitate to even put this picture up. So if you're just listening on audio, you're welcome. And if you're watching the video, I'm sorry. This is California's most recognizable drag outfit. So it is a bunch of mostly, I was told it's not all, but mostly men who dress up as Catholic nuns and do crazy things like a hunky Jesus contest. That's a thing that they do. So these sisters were invited to the Dodger game, the Dodger Pride Night, the 10th anniversary Dodger Pride Night. And just so you know, like, LA has a lot of Catholics. They have a lot of Roman Catholics. In fact, a lot of the Roman Catholics in LA, because I've been to LA many, many times, having grown up in California, are Hispanic. And this group of the sisters is wildly anti-Catholic and blaspheming. Now, again, you all know I'm not Catholic necessarily, but this is Catholic in terms of against the Catholic Church. But it also has implications into how we view the world from a Christian perspective, because they're as much against Christianity as they are Catholicism, from everything that I can tell. So they're blaspheming these Catholic nuns, and they're trashing them, trashing the Catholic doctrine. And conservative Catholics said, no, we're not going to do this. So what happened was, fortunately, I guess you would say, they were kicked out of this adventure. So let's see. Here is the first, let me flip this for you. So this is the first statement that they made. In the spirit of unity, LA Dodgers are proud to host our 10th annual LGBTQ plus Pride Night on June 16th. It has become a meaningful tradition, highlighting not only the diversity of resilience within our fan base, but the impactful work of an extraordinary community groups. This year, we invited a number of groups to join us. We're aware that the inclusion of one group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, in this Pride Night has been the source of some controversy, given the strong feelings of people who have been offended by the sisters' inclusion. In an effort not to distract from the great benefits we've seen, we are deciding to remove them from this year's honorees. Okay, great. Catholics saw that these sisters, I don't know. Here's the sisters again. So these guys, we're coming. And they're like, no, I don't like that. They make fun of Catholicism, Christianity more broadly. And so, no, we don't want them in baseball. Remember, everybody, we are talking about baseball. And so the Catholics in LA said no. And the Dodgers said, OK, we're too controversial. We're just not going to do this. But wait, there's more. Then the LGBTQ army said, well, we need you to put this in or we feel slighted. And so you've got to put them back in because they are the ambassadors of our sex religion. Those are my words, but kind of seems like that's what it is. So these drag nuns were put back again because of the LGBT backlash. So here is what they said about that. After much thoughtful feedback from our diverse communities, and by the way, if you're just listening, now the LA symbol, which on the previous screen, when they disinvited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, it was just the blue LA. Now it's the rainbow plus trans LA symbol. So we've had honest conversations with the LA Dodgers organization and generous discussions with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. The LA Dodgers would like to offer sincerest apologies to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, members of the LGBTQ AAIP hashtag plus plus dollar sign squiggly face emoji community. I might have added a couple there, and their friends and families. We've asked the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to take their place on the field at our 10th annual LGBTQ plus Pride Night on June 16th. We are pleased to share they have agreed to receive the gratitude of our collective communities for the life-saving work that they have done tirelessly for decades. Do you feel the love, everybody? Do you feel the love? Reading on a little bit more. In the weeks ahead, we'll continue to work with our LGBTQ partners to better educate ourselves, find ways to strengthen the ties that bind, and use our platform to support all our fans who make up the diversity of the Dodgers family. Of course, except for the Catholics and Christians who said, hey, we don't want this here. It's diverse except for the ones that we don't like. So we're just going to reverse course. So New York Times ran an article, Dodgers reverse course and re-invite group to Pride Night. LA Times wrote, Dodgers apologize and invite Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to Pride Night. This is where we are, right? We're just at the place where, these sisters are going to be with us. Drag is going to be with us. LGBTQ is going to be with us because that's what the culture wants. And corporations just say, sure, you want this. We're going to give it to you. That's just the way all of this goes, apparently. So I think it's important to understand from a Christian perspective and a cultural context that this is the way culture is going. And it showed that you do have a voice. You have a voice. And when you push back on your voice, people don't go to Target. And when you push back with your voice, the Dodgers and baseball and hockey and other places will say, OK, we won't do this. Until the LGBTQ sex religion says, no, no, you're going to do this and we're going to force you to do this. And they capitulate. And they just collapse into themselves and apologize and apologize and apologize and say, oh, no, no, I'm so sorry. Of course you're invited. You're going to be the star of the show for your hunky Jesus competitions. Yeah, that's going to go great. Now, this is an interesting intersection of the story. Okay, so I'm going to show you this. I'll show you Sam Brinton. Now, you remember Sam Brinton. I hate to even to bring this up, but you remember Sam Brinton, right? So Sam Brinton. He was the guy who was dressed like a girl, and he was the Biden nuclear waste official or something like that. But he also kind of got in a little bit of trouble and allegedly stole a bunch of luggage from people at airports. And apparently right now is in jail for stealing the luggage from the people. So that's the guy. Again, if you're not watching, your eyes are probably better off for it. But I have a picture of this bald guy with a mustache wearing a dress. This is Sam Brinton. Now, I'm just going to show you this particular picture. This is a picture of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And I know it's kind of far away. So let's see. I'll make it a little bit closer for you. So this is a picture. Now, I want you to look in the bottom right of this picture and see if that particular person looks kind of familiar. Did I even circle this for you? Yeah. So the person on the bottom right of this picture of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is none other than Sam Brinton, former ex-nuclear waste Biden admin guy who got in trouble for stealing ladies' suitcases at airports. I don't know what to say about all that, but Sam Brinton, the former nuclear waste facilities manager or whatever he was in the Biden administration who got in trouble for stealing ladies' suitcases at airports, was in the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence for some point in time. And now they will be probably sans him, because I believe he's still in jail, at the Dodgers game. I don't know. I don't know what to say about all this, people, but this is the world that we're in, and it's just a crazy thing. In another weird connection, that's more of what's not happening, and I hesitate to even say this, but I have to. I checked some sites like Christianity Today and a couple other, Christian news sites, and there is no mention of the Dodger story at all. Now, that may not mean anything, but it seems like kind of a big cultural deal and social deal, as we talked about. I talked about it not because I like sports, but because I think this is a big cultural experience that we're walking into, with all of these things culminating in the fact that this culture really likes this LGBT ideology and wants to push it on you, on your kids, on baseball, on Target, on Budweiser, on basically everything. And says you have to have this, or you don't get to be part of society, or go to the baseball game, or go to Target, or drink beer, or whatever. Like, this is the way that we are. And I think it's kind of weird that big news, religious news outlets aren't covering it. Anyway, so, I mean, even on another point of that, like, again, I mentioned there's like 5 million Catholics in LA, and there's many more Protestants, but most of the Catholics in LA are Hispanic. And many of them were Dodger fans. I don't know if they still are, but isn't that an interesting intersection? Christian Post or Christian, not the Christian Post, I apologize, but Christian news outlet. I don't know. Anyway, I also want to point out, because I just connect everything together, that's kind of how my brain works. Remember that guy, that guy that was the president of the United States, maybe that guy that is the president of the United States of America, who is the world's best Catholic, who is pictured here in a picture with the Pope because he's such a great Catholic, and that would be Joseph Biden. I haven't heard anything from him about this whole Dodger Catholic thing, but, I guess I won't hold my breath on that. Okay, so let's wrap this up, because I've talked for a while and you've got other things to do. I would say this. Let's land this way. Conservatives are, I think, scolded for making these things moral issues. They're like, why are you even talking about this? It's just baseball. Like, who cares? It's just pronouns. Who cares? But it's clearly it's a moral issue. It's a cultural and it's a moral issue, because they're telling you that you're wrong for not wanting these kids' drag clothes in Target, and you're wrong for not wanting the LGBTQ drag queen nuns in the baseball game, and you're wrong for not wanting a trans person on the face of a Budweiser. You're just wrong. But wrong and right are moral terms. If there was no moral, then nobody would care what they do, what we do, what anybody does. But people do care. I care, we care, and evidently they care too. So all of this means that corporations, baseball ones, baseball, the sport that's supposed to bring people together, take me out to the ball game. Like, these were supposed to be fun times on afternoons where you're just hanging out with your family and eating nachos and hot dogs and having a great time. No, they want that to now choose moral sides. They are choosing moral sides. They don't care about you or your children or your family or the gathering on the weekend or the afternoon. They want you to know that they are choosing to uplift sexual performance over good old-fashioned sports. And you're asked, no, you're told you must agree. There is no room for your beliefs here, your old-fashioned Christian books, your old-fashioned Christian ideas. They're saying get with the times or just get out. They'll take over sports. They'll take over retail stores. They'll take over beverages. They'll even take out over the outdoors, like hiking and camping. So this is what you must know. There's just no neutrality. There is no safe space. It is either Christ or chaos. You can pretend none of this is happening, but it's happening. And it will keep growing further and further and faster and faster. And it will be in your work, and it'll be your children's school, and it'll be in some of your churches if it's not already. You will be forced to choose: either capitulate and bow down, or stand there and be thrown into the fire. This is, again, the picture of Daniel, and this is the way that we are. I hope that you choose Christ over the chaos, and I hope that you follow him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. For Church Public, I'm Matt Odegaard, and I always hope that you will keep the faith.